Hey everybody, good evening. Welcome to Hobby Hotline. I wasn't even queued up. Here we go. Show 161, Hobby Hotline. I'm your pal Val. With me is Sam. How are you doing today? This evening?
Yeah, I'm doing really pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing great here. Get everything all set up and see if we got anybody in the chat. Let me post the link. Link is here in the chat here. All right, link is in there if anybody wants to jump on. I think Corey's maybe running a little late. And I don't know about you, I'm getting excited. We got 29 days until the National in Atlantic City. So I don't know if you're going or not.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting excited. I'm going, even though I feel like I've dedicated hardly any thought towards it, because I'm actually a week and a half before that, I'm going on a cruise. So it's kind of like one thing before the next is what I'm getting to.
You can have a busy couple weeks there. You go and someplace fun or warm, I hope.
Yeah, definitely going down to the Caribbean. So yeah, I'm getting excited for sure. I think I'm planning on going down the 27th. So I guess maybe 30 days away for me maybe even 28 days.
I put the 27th in the little generator, like how many days till July 27th. So it came back with that. So. Nice. I think we're going to try to travel on Tuesday to get down there bright and early. So with all of everything's going on with travel, it's going to be interesting, I guess, for everybody. Hopefully, knock on wood, everybody has a safe travel and there's not a lot of weather delays, pilot, whatever it is. So
Yeah, definitely. I know, too. Yeah, I'm driving from North Carolina. So it's a bit of a drive. Yeah, I'm driving because the plane tickets, I don't know, that was just like a whole situation of the plane tickets were so expensive. And then like even from whatever airport you fly into, I think unless you're flying exactly into Atlantic City, like you need a car anyway. So it's just like, I'm just going to drive. But yeah, I'm also heading out Tuesday night half the way and then the other half Wednesday. So yeah, looking forward to it.
I had booked the airfare, I guess it was January, February, just when we were hearing some rumblings about the inflation, the economy, and everything else. I was like, well, let me go ahead and book that flight. But to your point, I went to Atlantic City, I guess it was 2016 last time it was there. And, you know, it's a little bit of an adventure. So you fly into Philly, and then there's a train, or I guess some folks, I think one group of guys that I was with, they rented or got a van that was, you know, basically going from the airport to Atlantic City. But there's a train, and I don't know, it's not too expensive, I think. Like $15 and it drops you right there at the convention center. So
yeah,
and you can kind of walk wherever you are, but actually that's good though. You have a car. It means you can load up on a lot of specials because that Sunday, you know, everybody's not wanting to bring those cases of cards home and stuff. And last time I was there, it was like, oh boy, man, if you know, I wasn't flying, it was going to cost you so much money to try to, I guess, you know, pack a you know, mm-hmm. how heavy a case of cards is and what it's going to cost you in shipping or whatever. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm looking forward to be able to just bring a lot more to, like, well, like not have to worry about, you know, only having get one suitcase essentially to pack everything in. And yeah, having a car is just going to be, I think, hopefully helpful and not more of a hassle. But I'm actually staying a little bit outside of Atlantic City. I had a bit of an issue. I'm actually not staying at a hotel. I'm staying at an Airbnb, and couple issues with the first two, like in terms of just like Airbnb issues. And so I'm a little bit outside, which I'm kind of looking forward to because I don't really want to be in the mess of everything at night. So
gotcha. Say hi to everybody in the chat. We got Ziggy No, good evening. And then John, that 70s card show. I say traveling is worse than doing taxes. I don't know about that, but I guess I think he travels quite a bit. So It can be interesting, that's for sure. I guess it all depends on where you go. But what's everybody want to talk about in the hobby? Any kind of big news? I know not too much going on. The Canton Card Collector, good evening to you. Trying to think of stuff for the National. I know, like, I think the PSA set registry, lunch and dinner, whatever, some of those stuff went out in email. But the other tweet I had seen where I guess the I'm drawing a blank here. The tickets, whatever, for the National, they're almost sold out.
Oh, really?
That's one of the things I had heard. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've heard. Yeah. I know. I guess the VIPs are definitely sold out. But yeah, I think yeah, I was hearing, I guess things were getting a little scarce on the other tickets as well.
It should be very interesting with the economy right now. I think there's going to be, definitely a buyer's market now. So we'll see. But national is always amazing because you're going to see where else can you see 5, 10, 15, 52 mantles and all those other things. So it's kind of interesting. Every year is kind of different where some years there's a lot of older stuff. Some years, you know, there's more of the newer stuff or newer, I guess, in like the 70s. Or I'm curious as for the like a racing card collector, the amount of F1 and NASCAR. Last year we saw a little. Let's say me and Logan, we usually tag team, and Tyler, his son, and you know we can kind of hit the show pretty good because we go at the table and say, "Hey, you got any racing?" And they're like, either no, left it at home, or they show us some, and it's F1 or something. It's not even NASCAR or whatever. So, but there were a couple of F1 high dollar cards at the national last year. So I'm expecting a lot more this year. So
yeah, definitely. I would venture this time when you go and ask for racing, all you're going to be directed to is the F1. But I did see recently, I just went to actually go see Top Gun this past weekend, and the previews, it looks like there's a Kyle Busch movie coming out, which I wasn't really aware of. So that might spark some interest. Some people might be looking to that. So
yeah, you know, the year he won the championship, it's almost like a made for TV movie or whatever. Where not to go off the rails here, but in 2015 he actually had broke both his legs in an accident. I think it was the race before the Xfinity race or something like that. So he had to rehab that year, and they necessarily didn't make a waiver for him, but you have to have so many points or whatever to be able to make the playoffs and stuff and be in contention. And he made it, and he won the championship that year. So not to mention all, you know, all the other stuff and all the other records and everything. So I saw that was coming out, and that piqued my interest. And I went and looked and to see that it was, you know, it wasn't out yet. Cause I was like, oh man, where can I go and see this? So it's going to be
I think it's out soon. Like, I want to say it's, I don't know about today, but like the 29th or something, maybe this Friday, July 1st, I'm not sure. But it did look interesting. I honestly don't know that much about NASCAR, but I didn't really know Kyle Busch as a person in terms of it. They tended to make it, I think, more about like his antics and like his personality as like a person. And I saw like something, like he obviously saw it, he's seen it beforehand. And one of the comments he made was like, oh, it didn't go far enough. Like, I think he thought it should have been even like bolder.
He's one of those folks where he feeds off of the crowd and other stuff. So, and he has the talent to back it up. So I'm not sure who it relates to. I'm sure as other sports where they kind of seem cocky, but the people that are boo him, he has no problem with that. And he does the bow and stuff. And he's got so many wins across the three different series, and he just, you know, feeds off that. And he's got his own truck team. So, you know, in NASCAR, you have the trucks and Xfinity and cup level. So he's got the truck level, his own company, whatever, Kyle Busch Motorsports is what it's called. And so he's just everywhere, and he's really super talented. And so that gets some boos and I get some cheers, and he feeds off all of it. So it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Saw some more comments to everybody. Let's see what we got here more in the comments. Let's see.
I see here they say, I think 70s Card Show is saying about the tickets being sold out, that it was just probably they might be spreading some of that information to drum up more business.
And that's possibly true too, right? The a little misinformation, or just kind of, hey, you know, you want to make sure you get that last push there before July. So is there anything, I'm curious to see the folks that are watching and you're as well as yourself, if there's anything you're looking for at the national that you want to disclose. You know, maybe it's don't want to make sure that somebody doesn't take what you're looking for. Yeah, unless it's one of those, you know, one of those really white whales, you know, they kind of say. So
I'm excited to actually get there on Wednesday, like the first you know, they're opening it up, I think, from 4 to 8 or 5 to 8, whatever, that Wednesday. So I want to get there Wednesday, because last year I didn't get there until like Friday at noon. And I felt like I missed all the buzz that was, you know, the couple of days before. So now I'm actually front loading it. I'm leaving on Saturday, but going to be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So
you actually bring up a good point. So, you know, last year I was there, the same kind of thing where, you know, get there on Tuesday. And I, when you said that, it made me think of like Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It seemed like it was super busy, busier than I'd seen it years before. And then like on the weekend, like everybody was gone. Not everybody's gone. There were a lot of folks there, but it wasn't like it was early. So it's like almost everybody came in, did their business or found their cards or whatever they wanted, and then they were out. And I don't know why this popped in my head, but I remember Baseball Card Exchange had a rack box of 85 wrestling, and they were like $5,000. So I always go to Baseball Card Exchange because he always has the most amazing wax and stuff you're ever going to see. And he had like two of those boxes, and they were like $5,000 a piece. It was just amazing. And not that I'm a big wrestling fan, but, you know, growing up in the 80s and stuff, I remember WrestleMania 3 or whatever it was and stuff. So, but, you know, they sold really quick. And, you know, like people are coming in, grabbing those really big items or those white whales or whatever it is. And then, you know, they're gone for the weekend and they're home. So instead of hanging for the whole week. So I think you have a point there. So, and a lot of stuff gets, you know, it's one of a kind stuff, or not one of a kind, but you know, the stuff people are looking for. And Wednesday is a VIP day, and a lot of stuff. It's like if you ever go to a card show, if you go the night before or whatever, the dealers are always moving stuff between each other and stuff, and for their personal collections or whatever it is. And so it'd be a lot of fun Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I'm more looking forward to probably the first couple of days, and then excited to kind of have Saturday, Sunday to get back home, relax, not be so. I think last time, I probably didn't get back until Sunday at like 10 p.m. from Chicago. So that was quite a scene. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, catching some better deals, as you're saying. I think a lot of the good stuff, I mean, people put it out because they're looking to move it in the beginning. And then, you know, if it's gone, it's gone. So I also see people here talking about the Dallas show, which, I think is in 2 weeks, and then it's 2 weeks before the National. So quite interesting, another bigger show there.
And then I know you're in the same area that I am, but there's a show in Hickory like the week after the National. And so that's Wes always has that show the week after the National. It's like, you know, it's interesting that he does that after the National. So I guess maybe folks who don't, can't make it to the National, and then some of that stuff comes to Hickory to get resold. So
right I've been to the Hickory show I think 2 or 3 times now. I really like it. It's a pretty big show, honestly. And actually this past weekend I was in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which I thought was pretty good too. That was actually my first show that I had gone to, like when I first got back in, like 2 years ago. So it kind of seemed like full circle going again this past weekend, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I was going to try to make it to the Spartanburg show. I couldn't. Had too much going on at the house here, but I'm going to try to get that Spartanburg show. But that 70s card show, he's looking to meet people. Cards are the same at all the shows. That's true, but it's not true. There's a lot more at the National, but definitely meeting collectors and stuff that, you know, you've talked to, you know, maybe the whole year or the last couple of years or whatever, you can get a chance to meet in person. It's always fun to meet everybody. So how is the hobby buzz locally by you two? Like say Sam was saying, the Spartanburg show was good. I was at the Hickory show a couple weeks ago. No, I think it was Salisbury. That's right, because I always talk about, you know, going there and getting the steak for the Salisbury steak, but that's a bad joke on my part. But there were a lot of folks, but the people really weren't spending at Salisbury. It wasn't what I saw a little bit of NASCAR. Well, I take that back. I found some really great deals for me for NASCAR wise, because NASCAR is cheap anyway. But I found some harder to find sets, or sets cheap enough that I don't have to worry about paying for shipping, right? So that can kind of eat into it. And I bought stuff for $8 a set, and you know, shipping's going to be $10, $15 on top of that. So I found some stuff. I think I ended up probably buying more than I sold. So
yeah,
but it was So I don't know if you saw that in Spartburg, if you saw a lot of things moving or just a lot of people there. Or...
Yeah. Honestly, there were a lot of people there. I think the show started at 9. I got there around 10. And I was at the fairgrounds, like the Spartanburg fairgrounds. Really crowded. Like, we parked so far away. So I was pretty shocked just by the number of cars there initially. Obviously, I think shows tend to be busier in the morning anyway. So yeah, I thought it was seemed pretty busy. And I do think some things were moving, just from what I could tell. I had a friend who was there. He actually, there was a trade night that Friday night at that show, actually. And I think he said there were, you know, a good group of people there at the trade night. So yeah, I think a lot of people right now, if you're going to the National, like, you're gearing up for the National. Like, I think you're trying to get all your ducks in the row, get your last, you know, few purchases, if you're making any purchases, like trying to take something big to the National, whether or not you want to trade it or, you know, sell it or look for something else there. I think everyone's just kind of getting prepared. Like, that's what everyone is talking about. So
yeah, it makes sense, right? Don't let me see something, always have some good trade bait, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. And yeah, I'm actually excited again, because last year I missed like the big trade show with Card Collector 2 and Kentucky Basketball Cards that they put on last year. So excited to hopefully be making that one this year for sure.
I saw in the F1 Facebook group that they're going to have a trade night as well. I think it's like from 10 to or 8 to 10 or 8 to 1 or something like that. And I think it was on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're having an F1 party.
Yeah, with all that. I was looking at some of the golden auctions for some of the F1 and F1 cards, and there's some pretty decent, you know, 20,000 for a Lewis Hamilton dynasty card and stuff. So I know they were probably selling a lot, well, maybe a little bit more than they were, but still, you know, it's a good sum of money.
Yeah, definitely. I remember, and that's another thing I remember at the National, is you talked a little bit last year, there was some F1 movement. Obviously, I'm close with Hannah, who's really big into F1, but I was debating on buying an F1 hobby box. Last year at the National, the price, I believe, was $600 for a hobby box. So that just speaks, I think now, just like, not the Sapphire.
Chrome?
Yeah, for the Chrome, Topps Chrome. Yeah, I think the regular is like $3,000 or so per box. So yeah.
Well, yeah, so you bring that up, and I'll never forget this. So, because again, you know, I'm not a massive F1 collector. I follow it and stuff for the podcast, that, you know, the NASCAR radio podcast. We do NASCAR, we've incorporated F1 and IndyCar. And so the Sapphire box that Topps had produced was at about $700 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a 10 box, they being Blowout, had a 10 box case for $7,000.
Yeah.
Right. So 10 box case and $700 a piece for $7,000. So somewhere in that time, I think it was by Saturday, it was gone. So that's fine. So fast forward, those Sapphire boxes are about $4,000 each.
Mm.
So now that's a, you know, like a $40,000 case, or even if you had sold it for, I think it was about $3,000 not too long ago, but $30,000 case. And that was only a year ago. So that's pretty good, you know, return on the investment. So yeah, those Chrome boxes were about that. I have a photo in my phone when they were, I guess, first on sale, and they were $195, those boxes. And now, to your point, they're about $3,500 a box. So
Yeah, I vividly, and it's like crazy for me to even think about that, because I think about when I got back in around 2020, like everyone kind of had similar stories of like, oh, I remember when this card was like $2, now it's, you know, $50. And I'm like, I haven't had that experience until, I guess, F1 is my experience and understanding how something could be so little at one time and then just kind of blow up for sure. I kind of remember too, like, even as you're saying, they came out at $195, and I remember them being pretty readily available at $400 even before the National. So it's just how things go, I guess, in general. I haven't really been into the F1. I know people talk about the Drive to Survive series. I've actually started to watch that twice now. I've not even completed season one, so I just don't know if it's for me.
Well, I haven't watched it, so
really,
but I think, to your point, though, a lot of people point to the Netflix series for, you know, the increase in F1 in the States. And, you know, Miami Grand Prix was first time this year. They're going to be racing in Vegas. I think they're adding another one, or maybe Vegas is next year. Mm-hmm. So they're adding some more tracks in the U.S. to the F1 circuit. But again, it's like related to the Netflix series. So, you know, we saw the bump with the Last Dance with Michael Jordan cards and stuff like that with the Netflix. So we'll see what about, you know, wrapping it around here to Kyle Busch to see if his cards get a bump. But I'm kind of embarrassed to even say what Kyle Busch cards are going for. You know, you can get his cards for like $4, $5, his rookie cards. So.
Yeah. I went and looked after I saw that preview. I was like, maybe that's like something I could like look into. But yeah, it was so cheap. Like you can get autos, like National Treasure autos for like $100. And I was like, oh, wow.
That's high. You can get his autos for a lot cheaper than that. And rookie autos probably are about 50. As rookies are, again, if you do the podcast, we talk about like when a driver wins, we talk about their rookie cards and stuff like that. And the highest finishing rookie for the races. But, we'll go like Kyle Busch is 2004, his rookie cards. And he's in multiple series in 2004. But again, you know, less than $10, $5 for a rookie card. It's probably unheard of the sports, right? And then baseball, the first Bowmans are like, you know, crazy money. And they haven't even played, and this guy's, you know, got all these wins. So anyway, I kind of don't want to talk too much about NASCAR because I don't want, you know, we've been kind of immune from all the price hypes and all that stuff pretty much from the other sports. So, but let's see what else is in. We get talking here. We can see what everybody's doing us in the chat. I apologize, everybody. So we appreciate you hanging with us here. Let us know if there's some stuff you would like to talk about or have Sam a question for Sam or me, or we already talked about the Hobby Buzz locally, and let's see what's on the Archie Manning. Yeah, I've been curious about the college cards as well as we talked about it. It was a while ago. There's the summer league in basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, how well they'll be perceived and will they be collectible? Because like we were kind of talking about with F1, it's around and it's cheap and then all of a sudden it just takes off and it becomes acceptable, or, you know, who decides, like, say, people wanting Prism cards or wanting the first Bowman like we were talking about as opposed to another brand, and everybody's kind of, it reminds me of like my daughter when she played soccer when they were little. Wherever the ball goes, like both teams go. So it's like one pack. So it's like, Bowman Chrome. Everybody goes to the Bowman Chrome cards. Oh, no, we like Prism. And so so if it goes to the college cards, you know, everybody's going to go to the college. The G League. Yes, that's what I was talking about. That always intrigued me. So to see what kind of cards get made for these different. As, you know, Fanatics is buying up licenses or acquiring licenses, and you have Leaf out there and Panini out there, and if anybody else, you know, gets some of these licenses for G League or, you know, maybe IndyCar or something like that. So be curious to see.
Yeah, I definitely think, that'll be interesting too. And I know, like, the big colleges, I mean, Texas is one of them that just has such a big following. Obviously, Alabama, Clemson.
Almost better than some of the smaller teams, you know? I guess I'm saying like college football, like I said, Alabama and Clemson, as opposed to, I don't know, find a really small market football team that maybe hasn't done well in years. You know, who's got the bigger fan base? So,
yeah, I know. Like, I mean, in North Carolina, Appalachian State, I mean, like they have, like, they're so good at football. And like, I feel like their fan base is actually pretty, you know, stout for it to just be, I think it's like a Mountain West conference or, you know, some small conference that they're in.
So basketball EuroLeague cards would be great if Topps or Panini made some. Now, I can't remember which league it was, but I remember in eTops, they had like Luka was in one of those pre sets because I'm going to butcher his name, Bobankovic or whatever. He's in one of the, that's like same set that Luka's in. I'm sure some of the viewers would know what I'm talking about. But it was cool that, you know, there's EPAC. So it'd be cool to some of those Euro leagues because you never know where, you know, some of these guys come from. I think before we came out, I was keeping an eye on some of the hockey and because I'm a Rangers fan. And of course, we have the Hurricanes as well. But The Hurricanes, I think their third string goalie, he's Russian, and he was playing for, because Hurricanes had an issue with their goalie. I think one of them or two of them were hurt. And so he played, and he did pretty good his first time out. So I was kind of, looking, because they said he had played, I guess he was on the same team as Igor Shesterkin. And so I was looking up his cards, and he had a minor league card with the Chicago Wolves. He has a Topps Now sticker as well, but, just kind of looking to see what kind of cards are out there pre-whatever, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think, I feel like I've seen a Luka, a sticker, though. I feel like there is some type of sticker. I don't know if that was with, I guess he's from Slovenia or whatever. But I think I've seen, a sticker where he's probably 14 or something. I don't know. He looks so young in that. The picture. I feel like I've seen something like that. But App State, yeah. Oh, I know. My senior year at South Carolina, we played at App State at home. And my dad went to App State, and so my parents were there, and then we lost to App State. Of course, I'm sure we paid them to come and beat us, so that was great.
So Upper Deck did make the year of basketball cards a few years ago. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Chris. But I was going to say, so now with the college licensing, that, we're going to get rookie cards even earlier, and it allows the college athletes at least to make a little bit of money off their likeness and stuff like that. So,
Yeah. I'd say some of them, obviously, I feel like it's, like society, some people are going to make a lot, some people are going to make a little. I know I've been seeing stuff about one of the Miami commits. The quarterback there, I think he's up to $9 million or something that he's supposed to get. So, quite a bit of money. I think I saw that today off of Boardroom or something, that he's expected to get $9 million, which is the highest of any college athlete thus far.
Yeah, I think part of it is personality and talent. Because I'm sure we've seen in baseball cards or whatever sport, you have some players, drivers, whatever, that are really good, but their cards don't do very well, not compared to maybe some other players that are either as good, maybe not as good, but they have that personality. And I don't know why, but not that Gronk, I was thinking of Gronk because of his personality and the commercials and stuff that they do, that they have that kind of you kind of feel like you know them or whatever, and what the personality's like, and more collectible, as opposed to maybe I'm trying to think of somebody who is really good but maybe not a good with the media, honestly,
would even think Matthew Stafford, he's really good, he just won a Super Bowl, but he's still, I don't think, the most collectible guy that people are always after. Another one within basketball is Kawhi Leonard. He has two rings, but he's just a quiet guy that I feel like people used to be really big on Kawhi, and I never hear anything about him anymore. So yeah, just very interesting.
And then you have I was thinking, Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
one ring, but he's got all the State Farm commercials or I don't know, Peyton Manning might be out there. Yeah. Not that he's not good, but he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's got the one ring, if I remember right.
I think two.
Two.
One against the Panthers, and he had one with the Colts, I think. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah. When he went to Denver, yes. But again, in the commercials and did Saturday Night Live and everything like that, and so he's got that personality. Then him and Eli have that show of breaking down the football games or whatever, where they're just kind of chatting while the football game is going on, and so they got that personality. And like I said, so, it makes them a little more collectible. So it's kind of, it's either secret sauce or whatever to trying to predict who's going to be collectible and who's going to be the next one to pop and who's not. And all of a sudden everybody falls out of love with somebody collecting wise. So,
yeah, exactly.
So there's what Carney Ledger is awkward with the media. Yeah.
He's kind of an awkward guy.
And that's one thing, like I said, the Manning, they've been there, done that, and so they're able to control that brand. I've seen it with, Haley Deegan. Her dad, Brian Deegan, was X Games champion, and so they're very familiar with the media and everything else. So they have that prior experience where they can kind of mold and get that image out that they want. So Colts beat the Bears in Miami. Oh, I guess when Peyton won.
Did I play college sports?
Sports.
No, I played intramural sports in college. Played basketball. I played on a kickball team. A couple other intramurals. Was really bad. I think I won like one intramural game ever. So that was, but it's like fun. It's fun to just kind of have something to look forward to, you know, like a game in college. But no, I did not play. But I'm excited for South Carolina college sports this year. Speaking of college quarterbacks, is Spencer Rattler. So I'm really excited to see what he does at South Carolina. So interested there for sure.
Okay, yeah, all right. I'm not, when it comes to college football and stuff, I'm, even though I've lived here so long, and I know the histories and stuff like that of and the fan base down here, but I don't necessarily follow it too much, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly didn't either. And like, I was strictly NFL, strictly Carolina Panthers until I went to college. And then it kind of becomes inevitable that you're into it at that point. Yeah, hoping for a good season this year.
I think probably it was when the college I went to didn't have a football team. So,
yeah. Yeah. You said you went to Winthrop?
Or something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to Winthrop. So it was primarily a woman or women's school until the late 70s. And then, so it's been, I think it was 1886 was when it was first started. But so, you know, no football team there. We had tennis and baseball and golf and I guess all that other stuff. So so Canton Card Collectors and my niece pitched at Jackson State and transferred to D2 school in Jacksonville.
Very nice. I also see the Yankees comment before that, which is really funny because my aunt lives in Blacksburg. So I actually kind of grew up a Hokies fan going to the games at Virginia Tech. But yeah.
I thought you were saying Blacksburg, South Carolina.
No. Yeah, Blacksburg, Virginia. But yeah, well, and there's a connection too with South Carolina because Shane Beamer is, you know, Frank Beamer's son, and he's our coach now. So connection there to the Hokies.
Okay. All right. Anything else? What else is going on in the hobby? Anything else? Any new product or is there anything like that you're interested in coming out soon?
I mean, I really don't open that much wax. I actually did order the 3 cellos that you could get from Target today for NFL Prism. So I have that on the way that's being shipped. I was excited to get that because, yeah, I'm not too sure I'm going to find it at my Walmart, which is something that I've been seeing, though, as of late is, you know, when I go to Walmart, there are all kinds of cards, like any card box that you want, you can get, but it's just not anything that I want. Like it's the Prism Draft Picks Baseball. No, like, I don't know. It's just like a bunch of random stuff.
Chris was talking, he had went to school that doesn't have a football team either. He went to Reuters. So I was going to, you were saying that about the product. Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of product out there now. And I don't know if we're going to back and see the days where, you get stuff on clearance. I don't know if you were collecting back then, but you'd go to Walmart and it's like, well, you see it on clearance. I'm like, well, will it go any lower? You know, you're waiting for it to go. You know, the $20 blasters are at 10 or something like that. So those were the days. But
yeah, actually, I think I do recall, like when I first got back in, there was a clearance section and it had like 20. I guess 19 at that point, like Prestige and Absolute Football. And it had like those blasters, I guess at the time it was maybe $15 instead of $20.
Cause I remember the 2019 Tops traded or update blaster, big, you know, the fat packs, whatever. And they were all on clearance and stuff like that. But I was thinking, we were talking about some of the things ordering. I've ordered some, so Tops F1, actually I've ordered off the UK site. So, you can do that. You just, you know, have to pay a little bit more for shipping and the VAT tax. But because Topps US doesn't carry all the F1, so Topps Turbo Attacks is the like the card game, and they're mentioning there's some kind of there's autographs in there. So we'll see what that turns out to be. I haven't been able to find any photos or any kind of reference to those autographed cards, but it's mentioned in the description. So I ordered that. I guess it was last week, so it takes a little bit extra to get over here over the pond. So
yeah, I've known a couple people to order things off the UK site. I think there was was the Lights Out? Was the F1 Lights Out in UK?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think I remember some people ordering that. But yeah, that's pretty neat to kind of have those, I guess, country or region-specific items come out.
Yeah, if you collect soccer, that's probably another good good one to collect from the Topps UK site, because I had ordered a few of the people get the Match Attacks tins.
You go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that they had these tins, and in there was either gonna be a gold, silver, or bronze Messi, and they were so you had a shot. There was a special card, and it was one of those, and they were like, I don't know, one out of two. You're more likely to get the bronze than you were going to be to get the gold. So I think I ordered, ended up like two, and there were different tins, and I ended up getting like two of each, two golds, two silvers, and two bronze, whatever. But that was a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was looking to see what else. Some conversations going on.
I know. I'm not sure if I can follow either.
So I peer over there and look. And I'm curious to see anybody in the chat what stuff they're looking for at the National. Because I'm curious to see, and I haven't checked yet, if there's going to be any kind of special events. Sometime for the last so many years, Topps has been doing their Q&A. So I'm curious to see, now that Fanatics is over that, will they do the Q&A? Because that's something you have to, you have to like sign up on Wednesday, and they only had 150 slots.
Mm-hmm.
And so I highly recommend that. That's a fantastic Q&A that they do. And I'm not sure, I haven't looked at the sites, if there's any autograph signers, because you know there's gonna be so many great athletes there signing. So never any NASCAR, because if you believe it, NASCAR guys don't charge autographs, so they'll never be at the National. When they are at the National, somebody else is paying the bill for them to be there. So Ty Dillon was there last year at the COMC booth, and he signed some autographs and did some stuff at COMC, but you know, he wasn't charging. So, but I'm curious, I got to look through the list and see if there's any of the football guys or whatever, hockey guys that, to get autographs from. So,
yeah. I've seen a couple of the headliners for the autographs, and yeah, there's a ton, which is awesome. But yeah, I've also heard too about the Topps Q&A from a friend last year. He was telling me like, oh, you should do it. But of course I wasn't going to be there until Friday. So it had already passed. But yeah, I'm curious to see if, yeah, they're going to do that, or if it's a Fanatics Q&A now, or, you know, really how the dynamics there are working. But I have seen the layout, and yeah, like the Fanatics section is huge, obviously, compared to it's, you know, in the corporate section. But it's just like, I think there's even a Fanatics section, and then there's also a specific Zero Cool, like that section. They like have their own kind of booth as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm sure PSA will be there and Beckett. Mm-hmm. And it's also good to drop off submissions and COMC as well. So if, I don't know if you are buy, sell, or whatever, flip on COMC, but COMC will be there, and you can actually bring your submission there and give it to them, and they'll bring it back and have that added to the site. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I actually didn't know that. So I may look into that, because as I said, I'm driving. So I might bring like a lot of, you know, cards I'm looking to get rid of to them at that point.
That, I think maybe it was in Atlantic City. I brought some cards with me, 30 cards or whatever it was. And that was my first submission to them to get some cards on the site. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages, I guess, of driving. You can
bring all you want.
Yeah, you can put all kinds of, pack the trunk full, all kinds of trade material. Exactly. And find something you like, say, hold on, let me go out to the car. And so Chris says the Topps Q&A was a waste of time. Now I don't know about that, Chris, because
I heard you get like a book bag, like you get exclusive stuff.
So they usually have a Topps giveaway. 1 year it was Pete Alonso signed cards. There was three different types, 50 cards of each, and they were modeled after the 86 Topps. So they were really cool. one year it was, I don't even know. It was, I want to say Frank, I don't know if it was, maybe it was Roberts, a baseball player. Yeah. I don't remember.
Luis
Roberts, yes. Yeah. And so those are signed and numbered or whatever. And I think there was something else another year. The one year they did give, you had a choice of a backpack or a bag or whatever, like a briefcase kind of bag. So, and they do have, they have food there and drink, and they take questions. We're still trying to figure out what happened to the Allen and Ginter wood minis. I think that's what they are. So that's for Eric S. every year, because they were supposed to be in allocation and none have ever surfaced. So it's really strange. So it's very interesting. So I'm curious to hear the end of that story, if they ever appear or not. If somebody has, they're all probably in like 10 cases and they're in somebody's warehouse and they're all they haven't been released yet or haven't been freed from their packs and boxes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is something I think about, is like the whole wax of like, yeah, there are cards that, yeah, just haven't even been discovered yet because they're just, yeah, in someone's case or someone's storage that they just kept sealed.
Yeah. And depending on the allocation, if, you know, depending where they fell, because it all is like feeders, whatever, and that stuff just,
right,
you know, just gets all packed, automation and stuff. So that, I guess it was a couple of years later, you know, Eric kept on asking that question. And they said, you know, they checked the Q and QA, and that supposedly they're in there. So, but we'll see. And then they also have some giveaways where you get a little raffle or ticket stub with a number on it, and they draw and they give away cards, and you have to kind of guess the price. And if you ever go and you have an option, let Clay help you if Clay's still with Tops, because he knows the numbers, he knows the price of the card. So, but it's a lot of fun. I know, you know, I know Chris didn't like it, but I've always enjoyed it. And again, if you have Tops questions, because as a Montgomery Club member, I had asked a question, because I think it was 1 year they did the renewal and it was just botched. And basically it's like, hey, you know, let, you know, members give them a, you know, a day to renew first before you like release everybody on it. You know, that, I think that was my question. So, but,
yeah.
Or I know comment.
That's kind of reminded me of, I guess, like something that people have been talking about with the Montgomery Club thing through Tops is the Star Wars Sapphire Tops Chrome. I know people have been talking about that. I have really no interest in that because I don't even know if I've seen all the Star Wars. I highly doubt it. So that was something of my sort.
I did see that and I was tempted, being, you know, having seen the original movie in the theaters when I was you know, a kid and stuff, and collecting some of that during that. But I was like, you know, the price point, I thought at $200 with then with tax and then with shipping. So the cheapest shipping option, I think, was $10. And I think there's 32 cards in the box and you get two colored parallel. There's, I don't know how many cards in the set, if it's 150 or 200 or whatever. So it was like, I'm a set guy. So if I opened it, I was going to, you know, I'd have to try to collect the whole thing. And I just, it didn't appeal to me. It kind of did, but I, you know, just the numbers didn't work out for me. That it was, you know, it seemed like Tops on that Montgomery Club, they've kind of doubled their prices on everything, what it was previously. So,
yeah, definitely. And I don't have the Montgomery Club, but the Star Wars. Yeah, I feel like at that point, if you really wanted the set, obviously you could probably just buy the singles couple months down the road and it'll be, you know, a lot cheaper.
Well, I know there's people that go after the Sapphire, that they like that parallel, and I'm sure it's limited, because, and people point to the Garbage Pail Kids where that kind of snuck through originally in the Montgomery Club. A lot of people passed, and I think they were like $50 a box if I remember right. And I was like, well, I don't, you know, I wasn't a real big Garbage Pail Kid collector or whatever, so it was like a pass on that. But it turned out to be, you know, a sleeper where I don't even know how much it is. And then they also did the Sapphire soccer boxes and of course the F1, and you know, that box was about $170 or $200, and now they're $3,000 to $4,000. That was that $700 box I was talking about. That is now $3,000 to $4,000 a piece. So it's kind of like you look at it, it's like, well, this is something I buy, and then don't buy it. And something I wouldn't buy is when you want to buy it. So,
right.
Because you know, you always take it. If you, again, if you're going to try to flip it or hold it, or if you're going to collect it yourself, but
yeah. And then how much is the, is it a cost to be a Montgomery Club member? Or like, what is the cost for that?
So it used to be, I think it was $150. So the, I think to get into the first year was like 200, and then renewal was 150. And then this year it was 300, 600 for brand new members. And that just gave you the option to buy product. Now, what you also, you get in that membership is, I think it's 5 sets, and they're smaller sets. I wonder if I have one around here. Yeah, I do. So they come like this. So nice. And it's packaged, you know, it's got those little, so you get like 5 of these little sets, and they're like either lost designs or something. So there's like the back of it.
Oh, okay.
But the thing that kind of appealed to me was that you got a factory set stamped with the Montgomery Club logo.
Mm-hmm.
So they started that in 2019 and have continued it. So I missed 2019 and started, but you see, so so these are, the backs look like that. So this is one of these little small sets. You get like 4 or 5 of these small sets. One of them will have an autograph during the year, and then like I said, that full factory set. And then you have the option to purchase these other special offerings.
Right.
It could only be offerings for the 582, or offerings, you know, you get them a day earlier or something like that. So,
right.
But that's kind of what the club is.
So, yeah, they definitely, it sounds like they doubled their price or so here between last year and this year.
Yeah. And then all the products are doubled or tripled as well.
Yeah.
So, most likely, I probably will not be renewing. And that's even if they do it again, because this was pre-Fanatics. And in the small print was that whenever they decide to end the club, you know, you kind of forfeited whatever was left. So,
yeah,
if that makes sense. So, what else? Anything else you with a hobby going on?
No, not too much for me. I would say I don't really have anything specific card wise that I'm looking at going after right now. So yeah, I'm more so, as we said at the beginning of the stream, just looking to go to shows and, you know, meet some people, and yeah, just mainly what I do. I also like to stick around the value boxes, so I don't really know if I'm into spending all kinds of money when it's already, you know, a cost to go to the National or all these other card shows. Like, there's still a cost involved, so I like sticking to the smaller cards for sure. And like, I know you said NASCAR is kind of cheap, so what I collect is the Panthers, and their cards aren't outrageous either. So it's kind of like a more affordable option for sure.
Yeah. So you're going to be there a couple of days. I don't know if you have a strategy. One of the things that I've learned, you know, over the years is, like, so being a NASCAR kind of guy is, you know, we'll hit all the tables, and, you know, kind of ask them if they have NASCAR, whatever it is, you're kind of collecting. Maybe make a note. There's the aisle numbers, there's aisles, and then there's booth numbers, and maybe jot down, like, to your point, like, I remember seeing some of the dollar boxes or whatever, and say, okay, I don't have time to go through them all now, because I want to hit all the bigger things first, you know, looking for wax, or looking for maybe something in particular that maybe is not readily available. Maybe some graded cards, maybe looking for those Kyle Busch, you know, rookies and stuff like that, and do that the first day or two. And then on the second pass or whatever, then go back to those dollar boxes where you can spend time. Cause it's going to take a lot of time, you know, to look through that stuff. So I found a lot of bargains, and then the single Buyers Club or whatever they are. I can't remember if they open on Wednesday or if it's Thursday. But you know, they're always busy, and they will actually restock their boxes. So they're actually purposely holding some stuff back for the folks who maybe can't get there on Wednesday or Thursday. You know, they'll put stuff back in on Friday and put it on Saturday. So, you know, they're a place you might want to stop each day or whatever. So
right. Yeah, I think
you'll find Dr. Beckett there, I'm sure.
Because I know, like, even at the local show this past Saturday in Spartanburg, I mean, yeah, the plan was to walk around everywhere first, and then I ended up stopping at like every single dollar box and didn't make it you know, even hardly to the whole show until the end, it's like, okay, I'm ready to leave. Let's just like walk through the rest really quickly. So yeah, definitely. I think gonna try and take the stroll and not get distracted by the dollar boxes or whatever may have me. Yeah, I think taking note of the booth numbers, yeah, it's isn't something I really did last year, but I think this year I've also heard the venue is just much larger. There's more walking room. So yeah, probably going to take advantage of that strategy for sure.
Bring a pack of Lance crackers or whatever else too. I'm trying to think of some other things. Yeah, make sure you wear comfortable shoes, because that it's a lot of concrete, so it's not very forgiving, because you will do a lot of walking. I can't remember if I recorded I have my phone, you know, so it tells you like how many steps you do, and you do like 20 something thousand steps a day.
Yeah.
And then if you decide to go down to, you know, the beach or down by the boardwalk and walk that too, so because it's only a few blocks from the convention center in Atlantic City. So I'm trying to think if there's anything other tips. I'm sure I'll remember, but, and that's not even including if you're doing autographs and stuff, right? Cause they're timed, and you got to make sure you have to be there at a certain time or you'll miss your, you know, your spot for an autograph. And then they have the VIP, if you get a VIP membership with the, you know, bag, they have VIP autographs too. So
yeah. Yeah. I think I saw today that like the VIP comes with 12 free autographs or whatever. Are you getting there? Yeah, there are a ton of signers. Like, it's honestly crazy how many people, which I guess Atlantic City, I've never been, but I don't really think of it as like a destination city for myself personally, but I'm just surprised you're able to get this many people to kind of come to Atlantic City to sign autographs for a day or so.
I think, you know, with the casinos there, yeah. Probably a lot of gamblers and stuff like that. So it's not very far from cards, right? You buy $5,000, you know, Dynasty F1 box, and you know, it could be a $20,000 card, it could be a, you know, $250 card or whatever. So
yeah,
just like, you know, taking that dollar and putting in the slot machines or whatever and hitting. Exactly. So
that's kind of why I stay away from wax, because I don't want to say I've had the worst luck. I definitely haven't. I've done like okay, but it's just like, it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's sickening, but like after you open it and you're like, oh my gosh, I just spent all this money and like none of this is anything I even want. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it's fun while you're doing it. And then like the joy is like, oof, okay, I'm ready to not do this again.
Yeah. It, you know, all depends on what it is. And, you know,
right.
If it's a hit based product or if it's like a flagship where you're working on building a set, or if you're, to your point, if you're just a player or a team collector, it's better than, you know, buying a break on that team. But yeah, you know, a lot of people have different reasons for opening wax or that thrill, and you know, somebody's going to hit the one-on-ones and and some people are not, but the odds are against you. Always, we've been talking on the shows like there's a reason that, you know, Blowout and Steel City and David Adams, you know, they sell wax, they don't open it. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even Steve Hart, Baseball Card Exchange, you know, he's got all this amazing wax and stuff that he's selling. He's not opening it when he's got the wax boxes of 86 Fleer basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. And it's a lot of temptation too, because I honestly have not opened a box in like a long time, like a hobby box. It's been a while, probably a couple months. So I feel like I get in like waves where I'm like, I just want to open. And then like I get in these droughts where I don't open like for a while.
So I always say like, if I open it, I've got to sort it. So that's like, not necessarily your punishment, but it's like, all right, so you don't accumulate a bunch of wax. Like, all right, I got to sort it. So I can't open a new box or whatever. Or if I open a few boxes, I got to sort it all before.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like, got to temper that thing or just opening a bunch of boxes. So, but. Well, I know we're hitting an hour here. I appreciate you hopping on, and I appreciate everybody in the chats, Chris and Kent Card Collector, and that 70s card show. So, but let me see. I think we have who's on Saturday. Hobby Hotline will be back on Saturday, 11 a.m. It's going to be July.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Wow. July 2nd. So July 2nd, Saturday at 10 a.m. Brad and Dr. Beckett, Herman and Adam will be on. So we're going four wide in July. So so you'll definitely want to tune in on Saturday at 11. So, any last words, Sam, or anything where folks can find you? Or
no, yeah, nothing major from my end going on right now. I'm just kind of prepping for, I guess, the next month or so, and vacation, and you know, other things going on. But yeah,
you got to do double packing, right? So you're going on your cruise, and then so you got to get that, and then you have your own, you know, got separate bags and pack the car for the trip to Atlantic City. So, but looking forward to seeing you in Atlantic City. Then we're going to do a Hobby Hotline live from Atlantic City. So, but well, hope everybody has a great night. Again, tune in on Saturday, and for me and Sam, have a great night, and keep collecting. We're out of here.